Do we think students should be involved in their own IEPs?
Yes.
Do you want to have a say in what it is you're supposed to learn this year? Do you want to give your opinion on whether you should be in a regular class or a special school? Do you think you need physical therapy or speech therapy or a tutor? Do you want to have a chance to ask for the things that you need for yourself? We have a page on our site you can click on how students can run their own IEP meetings. We thought this page was really good, but we also know many people on the reservation who would not feel very comfortable running their own IEP meeting. Guess what? You can invite anyone you want to attend your IEP meeting. That's important because most people we know have at least one family member who won't hesitate to tell anybody off. You know that cousin of yours? You can bring her with you. Now, it seems kind of funny to start talking about student involvement and then switch to parents, but one of the most important things a parent can do is go to the IEP meeting. It isn't very likely the student is going to go without a parent. And most students want responsibilities. No, they really do. They may complain for a while, but the truth is that having a job makes people feel important and empowered. One of the responsibilities or jobs that children should have is involvement in their own education. Making choices and building their own goals when it comes to education gives students the motivation they need to flourish in school, which is why it's important that parents try to get their students as involved as possible in the IEP process. The student's the one being discussed, and they should be involved. It will also prove helpful to the IEP team to get the student's input on what needs to be done to improve the learning process. The student might be having trouble in an area you never noticed, and this meeting can help flesh those problems out. Before the meeting, you need to explain the purpose to the student. The people on the team are expected to look out for the student's best interest and all work together the best possible way. Let the student know that this is an example of teamwork, which is a concept that should be reinforced in every school in America. The IEP meeting is a chance for students to tell their teachers about any difficulties they're having in school and any changes they want made. They should take advantage of this opportunity. There's enough instances where teachers are telling students what they need to do. This is the chance for students to speak up for themselves. As a parent, you can sit down with your child and make a list of what he or she wants addressed at the meeting. Personal goals and interests, what they feel their limitations are, and how they want to work past these. It's really important to emphasize to the student that ultimately this is his or her meeting. During the meeting, it's helpful if you can create a relaxed, more informal attitude so as not to scare the student who probably hasn't been to a whole lot of meetings in his or her life. Bring it to a less professional level may make the student more comfortable and help out the discussion. Make it a point to really listen to everything the student says, which adults often don't do, so that he or she is aware that this meeting is about the student. And most kids, when it comes right down to it, especially teenagers, really love to talk about themselves. And this is a perfect way to help them learn how to verbally express themselves in a positive way, which again is a skill that's really important in life outside of school. When a student turns 16, they really need to come to IEP meetings, especially meetings that discuss transition. Making that move from high school to higher education or employment can really be overwhelming. It's important to start thinking about this transition early on and begin planning. This will not only aid in their transition development process, but it'll make it easier for any anxiety they have upon graduation. And just like the student's able to take home the IEP and think about it before signing it, that student has the same right. If a student feels any concern, they're welcome to come up with alternative solutions that might work better. After the IEP is signed, make sure the student has a copy for himself so he feels just as informed and included as everyone else. Self-advocacy, which is what we're really talking about here, can really build up a person's self-esteem and leadership skills, especially if it's done at a young age. What this means is taking charge of your life and making a difference in your own life, making things happen for you instead of having things happen to you. Having students attend their own IEP meetings is definitely a form of self-advocacy, and the student's getting some control over what's being done and said to improve his own life. We don't think it's easy. We really don't. Being a self-advocate, in the previous pages, we discussed parents helping students be involved in their IEP meetings. And now we want to discuss student involvement in their own education. It's just a fact of life. Sometimes to ensure that your rights are being met, you have to act as your own advocate. As a student, you have the right to be fully involved in your education from beginning to end. The IEP starts with an evaluation of the student to see whether they qualify for special education services and what their disability is, what their specific strengths and weaknesses are. You, the student, can question any part of the special education process beginning with the evaluation. Now you might think, well, how can I do that? Some school psychologist, someone with all these degrees, tested me, what am I going to say? Well, for example, if you were tested the day after you found out your best friend was killed in a car accident, or when you had the flu, or for some other reason you thought the test wasn't accurate, this is the type of information you can bring up at the IEP meeting, and only you might know it. There might be tests that you don't believe are really fair. If you have a disability that affects your reading, and a test requires a lot of reading, and that's supposed to be a measure of your intelligence, it's probably not very accurate. If you have a language impairment, on the other hand, and you have difficulty speaking, then a reading test might actually be better for you than a test given verbally. And again, these are things that a school psychologist or someone who doesn't know you very well might not know. Before the meeting at home, you may make a list of questions to ask during the meeting and a list of topics that concern you. Sometimes it's easy to forget your concerns when you're in a meeting and there's all those other people there and so many people addressing issues. It's just easy to get flustered and forget. So bringing a list with you could be helpful. You're entitled to see your records before the meeting. So if you want to see what the test results are, so you don't have to respond to them right there on the spot. During the meeting, the student's participation is just as important as anyone else, and don't let anybody tell you different. If you feel that you need assistance or even emotional support, you're allowed to bring someone with you to this meeting. You can bring another specialist or just a friend. If you'd like someone to attend but they're not able to, you have the right to tape record the meeting and bring the tape home. When you're at the meeting, it's important to make yourself heard, even if you feel like you're asking a lot of questions. And sometimes people get this impression. They feel like they're treated as if you're wasting all these professionals' time. Don't be afraid to speak out. This is your education that's being discussed. It's about you, and you have every right to speak your mind and ask about anything that's unclear to you. Most of the students we know haven't felt very comfortable speaking out in their meetings, especially not the first time or two. Some things that might make it easier: discussing what you want to say ahead of time can be really helpful. Try talking about someone with whom you feel comfortable. It might be easiest to talk with your friends at first and not your parents. Someone who will just be on your side and just listen. Next, once you kind of got that down, talk over what it is you want with a parent, a coach, somebody who's sympathetic. And each time you do it, you'll find it gets easier. Now that you have a goal, how do you really get involved in your IEP? We do realize we're asking a lot for any student or adult for that matter. A lot of people feel really uncomfortable speaking up in public. And that's a major skill, to learn to speak up for yourself, identify your own needs, present those needs in a meeting, and follow up to make sure those agreements are enforced. Are we being really unrealistic to expect you to do this? Are we heartless and we have no understanding of how hard it is for a high school student or a middle school student to step up? No, we aren't unrealistic and we aren't heartless. We really are. But as employers, as people who run a business, we know that the ability to communicate is one of the skills most prized in the workplace. We know that the courage to speak up for yourself and later on for other people is one of the keys to being a successful employee, and it's certainly a key to being a leader. And that's our hope and our expectation for every child on every reservation, that they can not just get along in the school system, but that they can succeed. So congratulations, you done it. You decided what your concerns are about your education, and you even have an idea what your goals are. You discussed what you plan to say with your friends, you got an adult involved in the picture. And sometimes you find out that as you discuss your ideas, they get clear in your own mind as you talk to other people about it. Or maybe you changed your mind as people asked you questions, why do you want to do that or why do you think that? And you came up with some other ideas. So now you're really ready. Going to the meeting, bring any documents that you think might be helpful. We always think it's very helpful to have things written down. You can have medical records that prove a disability, or medical records that show another reason for being absent. It's not that you're lazy. It's not that you're unmotivated. You had mono and you were out for 3 weeks. Get letters of recommendation from employers, samples of schoolwork. There's nothing that proves better that you can do something than to bring in and show that you've already done it. I know that I can get a job and keep a job because here, I've worked for 6 months here, and here's a letter from my boss. Bring in descriptions of jobs you're interested in or school programs, any type of document that might show what you want. You can also, during the meeting, ask the staff for recommendations they have outside of school. Is there something they recommend your parents can do to help you with your homework or other things? What about vocational rehabilitation? The VR program certainly should be involved in creating an individual transition plan and what you're going to do after you graduate from high school. What other services or agencies besides VR might be helpful to you? Those are all kinds of questions you can ask in the IEP meeting. When the IEP is done, before you sign anything, it's important that you understand everything that's outlined in the plan. We just can't tell you how many people just sign it. Don't be one of those people. You have the right to take the IEP home and wait a few days before making a decision. You might feel pressured about agreeing to the IEP right there, since all these professionals have been inconvenienced by scheduling this meeting, and now you're asking for another meeting, or you're asking them to wait. It's not an inconvenience. These decisions affect your life, and if somebody has to wait 15 more minutes after school one day, so be it. It's your option to take some time to discuss the plan with other people before you give your informed consent. If you don't agree with what's outlined in the plan, you can deny consent. You can refuse to sign it and schedule another meeting. Now, what about when things go wrong? First of all, it may not be as wrong as you think. Be prepared to hear some comments from the staff regarding your behavior and their expectations. And they might have some different opinions than you do on what steps ought to be taken. They might have some remarks about behavioral issues that you may not agree with. It's important, though, that you get both sides out on the table, no matter how difficult it might be. Believe it or not, this is another one of those really important life skills. Many employers say that a problem with younger employees is they take any attempt to discuss their performance as a personal attack. So if you can get the habit of listening to constructive criticism early on, you're a step ahead of everybody else. Please, please, don't take what we just said as justification for being treated badly. Here at Spirit Lake Consulting, we've had the pleasure of working with some terrific staff members, and we hope that's the kind of experience you're going to have. We hope that your involvement in this meeting benefits you in developing important life skills, proves a huge help to the staff working with you. Your comments should help the teachers get to know you on a more personal level and discover some facts about you that might help them serve you better. But we're not really naive here. You know, one of the things I always tell people is I was bored at night, but it wasn't last night. We've all worked with some people who said things that were so disrespectful of their students on the reservations and their families that it just made our jaws drop and hit the desk, and we just sat there speechless. If you feel that you're being treated disrespectfully or you simply can't reach an agreement with the school staff, you have the right to request mediation with a neutral party. That is, someone will come in and listen to both sides and try and work through the issues. No matter what, no matter how hard it gets, try to keep your cool. This might not be easy when things aren't going your way and you feel that things are being said about you that are really unfair. Getting involved in your own education can be a very maturing experience. And it's not always fun, like a lot of other maturing experiences. If you really feel like you're going to lose it, say that you need to take a break. Say you need to get a drink of water, go to the bathroom, call somebody on your phone to ask for more information. You won't be the first person to leave an IEP meeting and go in the bathroom and cry or pound your fist on the wall, but really try not to lose it in the meeting. If you're not satisfied, you have the right to a fair hearing. Walk out, say that I don't think we're making any progress here, and either reschedule the meeting, ask for mediation, ask for a fair hearing. In a fair hearing, someone who is not an employee of the school district and who can be impartial in this case will be appointed. This person should receive in writing from you the facts of your case as you see them. That is, what your concerns are and the solution that you want. This hearing has to happen at no cost to you. Let's say all goes well, or it doesn't go well, you have the fair hearing, but in the end you get your IEP. After that's agreed on, you still need to stay on top of it. Stay involved, track the progress of this plan. If you're not satisfied that what was in the IEP is being done, or you're concerned that what was agreed on isn't working out the way you thought, you or your parents have the right to call another IEP meeting and come up with alternatives. And this sometimes happens. 6 months down the line, you think that you wanted to be in this program for work study, and you were going to go to school half the day and work the other half the day, and you find out that this job you're on is the most boring thing you could possibly imagine in your entire life, and you'd rather sit home and watch the light bulbs in your house. Call for another IEP meeting. At the same time, if you notice that decisions were made that weren't listed in the plan, you can contest that and say, I never agreed to this. In my IEP, it said that I was going to be in the regular classroom all day long, and now I'm being sent to this resource room 3 hours a day. What's up with that? You're entitled to 100% of the school's time and effort in this matter. And if you act as your own advocate, you need to ensure that you get those services that were agreed on. If the school doesn't respond to your concerns and comments, or if you feel you aren't receiving the services you need, if they ignore your request for a fair hearing, or in any way, if you're really concerned about your treatment, there's the local protection and advocacy agency you can contact. So if you need to know more about protection and advocacy, we'll discuss this agency in detail in the legal rights section of our vocational rehabilitation workshop. So that's a little bit about your involvement in your IEP. We really encourage you to do it. We know it's not going to be an easy task, but we think you're up to it.